Paul's letter to the Galatians began by asking a very simple question. Having begun with faith, having begun with the Spirit, having begun with trusting in Jesus Christ, having begun with the simple faith of Abram and Sarah, having begun with faith, are you going to be completed now? Are you going to complete your walk by doing good works or by exercising faith, the same faith that began you? And Paul's answer is you're going to continue with the faith that began you. You're going to continue with the faith that launched you. You're going to continue with faith, empowered by the Spirit of God. Having begun in the Spirit, having begun with faith, you will continue in the Spirit, you will continue with faith until you reach God's ultimate conclusion for you. And that's where we come today. Here at the very end, in chapter 6 of Galatians, we come to what that life in the Spirit, having heard about the fruit of the Spirit living itself out in our lives, now we see the Spirit living in the community of faith. If anyone is detected, discerned, discovered in a transgression, not just a sin, a transgression, you who have received the Spirit, you who walk by faith, you who are members of the family of faith, who have been living by faith and who now live by faith and will continue to live by faith, you who are empowered by the Holy Spirit, you who detect a brother or a sister in transgression, what ought you to do? Beat on them. No? You who have received the Spirit should beat on those who've been discovered in transgressions. That's what the church teaches us. That's what doing the works of the law would call you to do. If you catch your brother or sister engaged in transgressions, engaged in sinning, you ought to start beating on them a little bit to make them stop doing it. Because what you do and what you don't do is important for being a Christian. No. If you're living by the Spirit, if you're living by faith, no. You who have received the Spirit should restore such a one. Restore. The word here is a beautiful word. It means to repair. It means to mend. It means to strengthen. It means to heal. It means to patch back up. It means to repair and build back up. Not beat, certainly not beat. It means to repair, restore, soothe and heal such a one. When you discover, when you discern, when you find out that a sister or brother has stumbled in transgressions, you don't beat on them. You love them. You welcome them back in. And you do as the Spirit leads to help mend and restore, strengthen and build back up those who have slipped into transgression. Where's the church gone wrong? Where's the church gone wrong? We hear it not just from certain denominations, we hear it all across the board. From the Southern Baptist Convention to the General Conference of the United Methodist Church, we hear if they get caught in that sin, if they get caught in them transgressions, you beat on them a little bit. You shake them up. You stop sinning. Whack, 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 whack. That's what the church teaches us. That's what we see it on TV. You watch those TV evangelists preaching about sin. That's the first thing they say. Catch that sinner, you beat on him. Well, that's not what Paul is saying. How does the church get off track? By trying, instead of living by faith, trying to do God's job for God and creating Ishmaels in the process. Doing what Abram and Hagar did, trying to get God's job done for God. We're back to that story again. No, when you are living by faith, when you are living in the Spirit, My friends, you don't beat on. You don't beat them up. You build them back up. You restore. You heal. You patch them back up. You soothe and bring them back to wholeness. You don't shove them off. You don't beat them up. You don't send them away. You gather them in and bring them back to healing. That's what the Spirit teaches us to do. That's what the life of faith calls us to do. Why? Because if we are honest, we know that we are just like they. We may have transgressed in another way. We may have sinned in other ways. Doesn't matter. To quote Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. Bah, bah. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Tempted to do what? Tempted to say, I'm a good holy Christian. Beat on the sinner. That's a possibility. Or tempted to transgress the same way that they did. That's why you treat people in the Spirit with a restorative approach rather than a retributive one. That's why we heal rather than punish in the church, or that's what we're called to do. That's why we reconcile and not divide. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. The image here is of the church gathering together, recognizing that we all have stumbled, we all have sinned, we all have transgressed. Therefore, we are all called to be about restoring each other, healing and building each other up, leaning on each other for support, and taking steps forward in faith. In other words, you can't do it alone. There are no lone rangers for Jesus. Some people seem to think that just me and Jesus, that's all it needs to be. No, it takes a family of faith to live this life, to live the life of the Spirit. It's not a loner's proposition. Here we come to one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Those who are taught in the Word must share in all good things with their teacher. All right, come on. Pony up. Come on, pony up. Oh, my sisters and brothers. I don't know a single pastor, I don't know a single teacher in the church who could look at this and not realize that they have been paid back so far beyond the measure. Sitting in Bible study, day after day, on Thursdays. Sitting in Bible study, morning and night, with y'all. I learn so much, I can't put a limit on it. I'm sorry, I learn more than y'all. I'm amazed at how much I am fed, how much y'all share with me of your love, of your presence, of your joy, of your excitement, of your calling, of your understanding and wisdom. And I am so fed by that. Yes, you pay me a salary. Yes, you have a home for me to live in. Yes, you take care of me. That's where this is coming in. But more importantly, you have fed me by being my sisters and brothers in the faith. Yes, in a sense, you're also my children. And I thank God for that. But you have fed me in the Spirit too, immeasurably. The word here for share, share in all good things, is the Greek word koinonia, which means joint participation. To share materially in joint participation. That's what the life of faith is about. That's what the church is about. Sharing in joint participation with each other. It's not just, preaching is not just my job. It's y'all's job too. Proclaiming the good news is not just my job. It's y'all's job too. Celebrating the Eucharist, I don't do it alone. We do it together. Praying, we do it together. Serving, we do it together. It's the essence of the priesthood of all believers that we cannot be in this act of the church proclaiming the ministry of Jesus Christ on our own. It is a joint participation together. Do not be deceived. Don't be tricked. God is not. Now, that's a bad translation. Not God is not. It's God will not be mocked. The word there, mocked, is actually more properly translated, sneered at. God will not be sneered at. Ooh. Do not be deceived. God will not be sneered at, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Well, what's he saying? If you are part of the family of faith, if you are living by the Spirit of God, if you are called as a part of this family or of any family of faith in the Christian church, and you say, I love God, I love Jesus, I believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I believe in the calling of the church, I believe the Apostles' Creed, we get up and we say it. If you truly say you love God, if you truly love God and love the calling that God has for us, then God's not going to be sneered at. You can't say those things. You can't call Jesus Lord and then sow all your time, all your talents, all your gifts, all your service in yourself. Whew, okay, now Greg's starting to meddle. I'm sorry, you can't. If you believe in God and if you love God, if you believe in the calling that God has for the church and you love it, if you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, the calling to proclaim the good news to all, then God is not going to be sneered at by us sowing, giving, lavishing on ourselves all of our time, all of our talents, all of our gifts, all of our service. It's just not going to happen. Behind the modern English word for worship is the old English word worth-ship. In what do you invest as being of highest worth to you? Where are your priorities centered? What has greatest value in your life? Whatever you have greatest value in is what you worship. Where is your worth-ship centered? Is it centered in God? Is it centered in the calling to reach out to others and love and loyalty to Jesus Christ? Is it the calling to serve, do justice and mercy and kindness? Is it a calling to live by faith, which is what all that is? If that's what your calling is, then you can't be investing in yourself. If you are worshiping God, then you can't just be investing in yourself. You can't just be sowing in yourself. If you sow only to yourself, if you invest only in yourself, when you die, what happens to it? It's like dust in the wind. Whoosh. You know the song. That's exactly what it is. Like dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. But if you invest in the family of faith, if you invest in God, if you invest in the church, in the community of believers, in the koinonia, the joint participation of the family of faith, if you invest in the bearing of each other's burdens, if you invest your time, your talents, your gifts, and your service in the family of faith and what we are called to do and be, your investment does not go to corruption with you. Indeed, you don't go to corruption. you go to eternity. That's what he's saying here. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. Indeed, if you sow to your own flesh, it will speed up the corruption process. But if you sow to the Spirit, if you invest, sow your time, your talents, your gifts, and your service in the Spirit, in the things of the spiritual life, in the things of the church, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in serving the last and least and the lost with the gospel, in word, in deed. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. There's the wonderful joke about the man who is getting ready to die, and he's a multimillionaire, and he says to his daughter, "Okay, I want to take my money with me. I want to take all of my money with me. When I die, I want you to take my money, and I want you to put all of my money in my casket so it can be buried with me." And at the funeral, the daughter comes up, reaches into her purse, and pulls out a check and sets it in the casket in his hand. Well, he's taking his money with him, all right, to corruption. You can't take it with you. But you can sow it into the family of faith where it continues. You can sow your time, your talent, your gifts, your service, your witness into the family of faith, to the proclaiming of the gospel, the good news. And there, you reap it in eternity. It goes to proclaim the good news for all to hear. That's what Paul is saying here. God's not going to be sneered at. You can't do it. You can't get away with it. If you sow it to yourself, it's gone. But if you sow it to God, to the Spirit, to the things of Christ, then it has an eternal impact for us all, not just for you, for all of us in the family of faith. Because of what the saints here at St. Stephen did over the last 50 years in sowing their time, their talents, their gifts, and their service here in this community, there are literally thousands and thousands of people who are hearing the gospel today elsewhere. People who have gone out from here to be proclaimers of the good news as ministers. People who have gone out of here to join other churches and proclaim the good news and witness and service there. Elation going across the country year after year after year proclaiming God's spell. That's the sowing of your time, your talents, your gifts, and your service and your witness. Not in yourself, but in the things of God. This church knows what it means to sow in the Spirit. Let us not become weary in well-doing. That's the danger. Let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. Oh, I just want to quit, Greg. I want to have a vacation from church. Look, Greg, you're going on vacation. You're going on a cruise for 3 weeks. Okay, that's great. That's wonderful, Greg. Can we have vacation too from the church? No. Because it's wherever you go, you take this with you. Wherever I go, I take the gospel with me. I don't stop being a Christian when I'm away on vacation. I don't stop being a member of the family of faith when I'm not here. And the same is true with all of us. Wherever we may be, even killing these damn flies, wherever we may be, we are called to be proclaiming the good news of the love of God. We're called to be sowing still, again and again, always, to the Spirit, the time, the talents, the gifts, the service, and the witness that God has given us. We're called to be sowing it wherever we are. So then, whenever you have an opportunity, not just occasionally, not just when it feels like a nice time, whenever you have an opportunity, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all.
Oh, I'd rather choose who we can work for the good for.
You know, I don't particularly like certain people in the good news movement. Let's not work for the good of them. Let's work for the good of the people here in the reconciling movement, all right? No, sorry. We have to work for the good of all. Oh, come on, Paul. You're always giving these black and white statements, these statements without any gray area. Certainly you can't mean that. Let us work for the good of all, and especially, now we can get out of this, especially the ones we want to work for. No, especially for those in the family of faith. Work for the good of all, and especially for those in the family of faith. If we're called to live by the Spirit, if we're called to live by faith, we're called to live by the Spirit and live by faith in community with others, lifting each other up, bearing each other's burdens. And in so doing, we are sharing, jointly participating with each other in this common ministry that we have, sowing our time, our talents, our gifts, and our service, and our witness, so that the whole world may hear and know about the unrestricted, unlimited love of God, the unmerited, unearned grace of God, which welcomes all into eternity. Some people say they don't like Paul. I think Paul's one of the most human. Like Peter, he's a very human person with lots of faults. Some people say they don't like the letter of the Galatians because it talks about all that circumcision stuff and bleh. Luther said that the book of the Galatians was the center of the gospel. And John Wesley said that without the letter of the Galatians, you really can't understand the letter of James. It's because living by faith in the Spirit is what empowers the good works that then people look and see. My sisters and brothers, as we as the family of faith gather together, support each other, invest and sow our time, our talents, our gifts, our service, and our witness within the family of faith and without to others, may we truly be proclaiming this good news, unrestricted for all. Let us truly not grow weary in doing this. We sit in the committees and we say, oh, it's us again. And we sit here and we talk and we talk and we talk. And we don't get much done, but we get some done. Oh, my sisters and brothers, let us be about serving together, jointly participating, and proclaiming the good news for all.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.